Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I hope you got those pearls around your neck, because you're going to want to clutch those pearls at some point here. The most unwoke hour of the week. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us here on the show. Did we miss you last Tuesday? I can't remember. Were you out last Tuesday?
No, sir.
You were? Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, man, now we got our friends in Butte, America, rocking and rolling with us all morning long here. You know, our 9 o'clock hour is when, you know, we hit, you know, the small town, great small towns of Montana, from Lewistown, Malta, Plentywood, all the way over to Missoula. But man, with this extra hour of Montana Talks, we've been rocking and rolling Billings, Bozeman, Kalispell, Great Falls, and now our friends in Butte, America, rocking and rolling with us here all morning long as well. So I know they're going to want to get in on the Joker action. So they get to hear you every now and then, you know, when you stick around for the 9 o'clock hour. But now they got you every Tuesday, brother.
Well, let's welcome Butte to the show, and I'm going to give him a little Joe Biden.
Are you going to start?
Juneteenth.
You're going to start with the unwokeness right after that. Yeah,
little Joe Biden Juneteenth, getting down and boogieing action. Now watch me, Aaron.
Okay, now they're going to be bugging our engineer, thinking there's dead air. They're going to be like, hey,
there is dead air. Because
did
that's
you see
Joe
that?
Biden at Juneteenth rocking, boogieing down to the oldies there. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you have got to be the most embarrassing white guy in America right now. I mean, what was this celebration? Here's Joe Biden, and Kamala's there, and everybody's getting down. They got the music playing. Everybody's swaying. You know, even I could do a nerdy white boy dance at something like that. And he is just frozen. There was a funny thing on Twitter. Somebody shared here. They said, what is this? Biden, these edibles ain't... Adam Schiff, 15 minutes later, it's like, did he eat some bad edibles at the local marijuana dispensary? Because he is not moving.
It was such a stereotype, because here you got the two white people in that frame. You got Biden, who freezes up like Mitch McConnell, glitches up. You can see the thing just glitching. It's loading. And then you got Kamala's husband over there doing the Steve Martin from The Jerk. You know, I mean, has got zero rhythm. It was just so embarrassing.
I would have at least two-stepped. You know, I would have done something.
You got to do the one step back.
Yeah. Wobble, baby. I would have done something. I would have figured something.
Bite your lip.
Well, Bill and Hillary been here hanging out. Bill would have had a nice little swagger to him. You know, say what you want about Bill Clinton. He would have at least figured out a way to look halfway cool at an event like that. But
do you remember them doing the Macarena?
I hated the Macarena.
At the DNC convention that year.
What was one of the worst pieces of video of American history ever was the Macarena at the Democrat National Convention.
All those white people trying to do that. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
They won't be doing the Macarena this summer. I mean, it's going to be a crazy summer in Chicago for the DNC this summer. All right, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us. John, I finally watched the Senate race debate between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and old flip-flop, flat-top John Tester. Did he get dentures? I mean, Tester was just...
Securing America.
Security officials are finishing preparations for the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., July 9th through the 11th, which will see over 30 heads of state and thousands of delegates in the city as the military alliance continues to celebrate its 75th anniversary. Matt Stoller is the special agent in charge of the Secret Service's Washington Field Office.
The Secret Service's number one priority, along with our law enforcement partners, is to create a safe and secure environment for our protectees, visiting world leaders, and the citizens of the District of Columbia.
Metropolitan Police Chief Pamela Smith acknowledges security protocols will be inconvenient for some.
I ask everyone to exercise patience.
But says that there will be none for those who break the law during the summit.
The Metropolitan Police Department supports individuals peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights. But we will not tolerate violence of any kind, and offenders will be held accountable.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
A judge in Yellowstone County, Montana, wants to put a man in the women's prison. Hey, we had a great conversation with Matt Sharp, senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, on that very topic on Monday's Montana Talks. Check out the podcast from the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And we had Coach Ehart in town for the Take Back Title IX bus tour, along with Riley Gaines, Tulsi Gabbard, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Get all the podcasts.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know, John Jackson and I, we were chatting during the break here. You saw my story I put on our Montana Talks website yesterday. So I was in the Washington, D.C. area for a few days, Thursday through Sunday, and luckily didn't see any politicians until the very last second. I'm sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, getting ready to board the Minneapolis flight to get back to Montana. I'm BSing with my cousin, just drinking coffee, sitting back, and all of a sudden, there's Chuck Schumer. Just coming off the flight right in front of me. And so I go, hey, Chuck, we're going to defeat John Tester in Montana this year. And say he whips around and gives me this stare. And so we start getting, he keeps walking and he's like looking back at me. You got a crazy candidate in Montana. I said, he's a Bronze Star Purple Heart Navy SEAL veteran, you crook. And you know.
You called him a crook?
Oh, yeah. I'm just sitting there drinking. I never got up from my chair. I'm like some guy. I felt like I was some guy. Hey, you. You know, I was just yelling at him with my cup of coffee, you know. Because I started off, I was just saying, hey, Chuck, we're going to get you, you know. And you could tell it really got under his skin.
You like gave him the cross? Yeah, you know, your cross to the vampires.
Oh, man. But I thought about it. I was like, man, you know, because, you know, I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. You know, we were showing my cousin, who had never been east of Rapid City before. We were showing him some of the monuments, took him in front of the White House. And so, you know, I wasn't excited. I didn't have my camera out ready to record somebody. So it was just kind of just, you know, I saw Schumer and had to say something. You know, you see something, say something.
Got
right?
Got to.
Especially to, you know, a guy like that. But there was a few things I wish I would have yelled back at him when he was yelling back at me. Like, you know, Chuck, you threw Israel under the bus. You know, you're betraying Israel. And you're allowing America to be invaded by terrorists right now. And so, there was a lot of things that you could yell back and forth. But he was moving. You know, he's got lobbyists to shake down. So,
oh, he's just trash. And good for you. Good for you. I mean, all of them need to hear from the people. Everywhere they go, they need to hear that you know who they are and what they have done. I mean, that they need to hear that. Did I ever tell you my story about Tom Daschle?
Oh, yeah, little Tom Daschle. Yeah.
I ran into him on an airplane.
Man, he was a creeper, wasn't he?
Sitting, I mean, you know, right across the aisle. What is that, a foot and a half, you know, 2 feet from you? And I'm reading a book, and it's called Why the Left Hates America.
Was that a Mark Levin book?
I don't remember who wrote it, but I made sure that he saw the cover of it because I, like, turned it toward it. And I saw him, same thing, like this vampire reaction. He sees the cover of my book. He's like, So then we land in Minneapolis, and I was like, okay, I'm still working as a Fed, by the way, so this is a U.S. senator, so I got to tread lightly.
Yeah, you don't want to get into a, you know, a heated interaction. Yeah,
I stood up real quick. I grabbed my jacket, and he's still sitting, so I make sure and put on my jacket with these big, wild motions. I'm smacking him in the head. He's like over there, like ducking and covering from my jacket, hitting him in the head.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Yeah, just wear your mask, Tom. Wear your mask. Well, let's get into some phone calls here. 406-294-0970. We got Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, doing great.
I was in Ohio last week, and they've got a bum named Sherrod Brown. I think he's running for his third term in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And philosophically, I might totally disagree with an extreme leftist, but at least if he's consistent in his views, I have a certain grudging respect for him. But hypocrites like Sherrod Brown and hypocrites like John Tester, Sherrod Brown is running the exact same commercial John Tester is. Sherrod Brown, who, like Tester, is in Schumer's pockets for 5.5 years, every campaign cycle. Then then 6 months before the election, he's running ads in Ohio. Sherrod is tough on crime. Sherrod is tough on the border. He wants to protect that border. He wants to close the border. You know, we had a bipartisan bill that would have protected the border, but the Republicans torpedoed it. You know, blah, blah. Same hypocrisy. John Tester, you know, flip-flop, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
For 5.5 years, he's one stripe. And then, you know, he develops another stripe just before the election because his polls tell him, gee, it's going to be politically.
So the same phony ads, the same phony cookie-cutter ads that you're seeing in Montana, same phony ads trying to make John Tester look like a moderate, are the same phony ads that Tom just saw in Ohio propping up Democrat Senator Sherrod Brown. That is very interesting insight. Tom, thanks for calling in. Yeah, no big surprise there, John, right?
What you and I talk about all the time on your show plays right into that. They think you're stupid. Across the board, all of the issues, everything that matters, they think you're too stupid to actually know what was in that bill, to actually know what's going on in the border with crime, with the economy, with all of it. And then you're just going to believe what they say or what their media tells you. That's what they're counting on.
Well, there are some people that are that stupid. I just hope that their numbers are smaller than they've ever been before.
Yeah.
So I think that's the case. I think people are finally on to his game. Speaking of Joe Biden freezing up at the Juneteenth celebration, did you see him at the D-Day, the 80th anniversary of D-Day of ceremonies? Taps starts playing. He turns around. And then was it Macron's wife is like, well, I guess if he's turning around, we'll just like not make him look bad. It reminded me of Christmas Vacation. And the rockets red glare. The bombs. He wants you to say grace. But everybody was like, well, she's doing the pledge. We'll just stand
play
up.
Play ball.
Yeah, play ball. Play ball. Back after this, Tom in Billings, thanks for patiently waiting. You'll be first up right after this.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Everyone is tracking Nevada in this year's presidential race. While it only has 6 electoral votes, that understates its importance. The last time Nevada went for a Republican was George W. Bush in 2004. But in 2020, Joe Biden won it by only 2.5 percentage points. And our new Fox News survey of Nevada registered voters shows it could be tough to keep it blue. Donald Trump is ahead by 5 points in a head-to-head matchup, 50% to Biden's 45. Within the margin of error, but half of voters there say it feels like they are falling behind financially, including 6 in 10 independents and 3 in 10 Democrats. And by a wide margin, 16 points, Nevada voters believe Trump would do a better job than Biden on the economy. One more item we're tracking. Union households, an important group in Nevada. Biden won them by 15 points in 2020. Now they favor him by just 1. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Hey.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
All the intense media interest in Hunter Biden's gun and drugs trial. Of course, he didn't testify yesterday. Prosecutors pretty much decimated his defense. Prosecutor, if this trial didn't prove Hunter Biden is a crack addict, then nobody is a crack addict. There's no requirement that we prove that Biden used drugs during the month of October. That's when he lied on the gun form. Now, Hunter's lawyer, Abby Lowell, criticized the immunity deal, particularly with Bo Biden's widow, with whom Hunter became romantically involved. He said, yeah, nobody may have seen Hunter at the time, but there were these text messages. One said after he bought the gun, he was meeting a dealer named Mookie. Another said he was sleeping in his car and smoking crack. What the defense is trying to do is play on sympathy for a recovering addict. That may or may not work, but clearly the media are rooting for that outcome. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Real quick before we get to Tom in Billings. So, John, I got a chance to catch up with Yellowstone County District Judge Jessica Fair, you know, I've always liked Judge Fair. You know, I don't want to just say she's nice, but I've always thought she's nice. She's competent. You know, I knew her when she worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office. But she was appointed by former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. She's had a couple of cases where it's like, huh, you didn't take the abortion case, but you let some liberal judge take it instead and then rule in support of Planned Parenthood. You overthrew a ballot harvesting measure to basically prop up ballot harvesting. So anyway, but she is the judge. I did a story last week where this judge made a recommendation that a man be placed in a woman's prison. Now, it's a transgender man, so it's a man who identifies as a woman. But anyway, I had a very interesting conversation with her, and I think the biggest takeaway that I got from that is she's saying, look, this is just a recommendation. And now she couldn't talk about this particular case, obviously, because the case is still ongoing. And I certainly hope we get more information out of what's going on here, but she says, you know, she simply makes the recommendation, and then the Montana Department of Corrections will then actually make the ultimate decision of whether this man gets placed in the women's prison or not. So I sure as heck hope that our DOC and our state of Montana will not allow this man to be placed in a woman's prison, not only because this is a violent offender who could threaten and harm women, but it also sets the precedent that then they would allow this in other cases.
And I think that plays out exactly what you and I had said the last time on your show when we talked about this, that this recommendation was basically worthless. It was a political statement more than anything, because DOC was going to make this final decision. But I thought you had a remake in here in your studio, Aaron, of Footloose. The amount of dancing that was going on in here, the amount of can't talk about it, but I'm a good person. Really, really, really like me. I'm a good person, but I can't talk about the case. You know, the Looney Tunes dance-a-thon there. If you can't talk about the case, if you can't comment on it, then you know, why don't you just not come in here and try to say that you didn't do the thing that they say you did, but it was just a recommendation. If you really did do it.
Well, and with regard to that particular case, it is still ongoing. So I certainly look forward to getting more information, and I hope that there's some reconsideration done of that recommendation here. Let's go to hold that thought for just a second. I want to get to Tom in Billings because I wanted to get Tom in on that conversation. But Tom, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. As a Republican candidate for Yellowstone County Sheriff, and been in law enforcement federal, she's probably a really good judge, but she still has that little legislative part coming on because if my department arrests somebody and processes them into the Yellowstone County detention facility, they will already be gender specific due to the investigation and the processing. So what gives the DOJ the ability to change, i.e. gender, and then have a judge go with the DOJ? In the meantime, I have to put this individual in the Yellowstone County Detention Facility gender specific, i.e. female or male. So it's already been processed through a local level, and if they change it in a state level, or even i.e. a federal level, then things could end up being missing. But initially, they're going to be processed into the Yellowstone County Detention Facility as a gender specific due to the processing system, i.e. a female or a male.
Yeah, and I think too, and this is another point that I would make, is like the big picture here is that, okay, regardless of how somebody identifies or whatever, like, this is about protecting women in the women's prison. They are deserving of our protection. Regardless of what landed them behind bars, they're deserving of protection. And so, but also this dude, Panda, panda who identifies as a woman is also deserving of protection. And so, but man, whether this man gets placed in a women's prison or a men's prison could be in, you know, facing potential harm. So an isolated facility is probably likely gonna happen, even if placed properly. So in a men's prison as well, right, John?
Yeah, and you and I talked about that last time as well. Is that that person probably is going to be isolated, either prison that they end up in. But my question a minute ago was, okay, the point the judge kept making with this is ongoing, I can't comment. What's ongoing? This person has been convicted and sentenced, right? I mean, what's on? Now, I understand if there's some kind of health information, private health information that cannot be released to the public. I get that. But what's ongoing? I don't understand.
Yeah, good question. Very good question there as well. Let's see. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just jump right into the phone calls here. I know I had another topic that I was going to bring up. I've got some Montana Talks messages on our app here that I want to share as well. But let's just take another caller here. She's in Eastern Montana. She goes by the name on X. Tester will not be elected. Hey, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron and John and hello, Montana. And of course, I want to thank the vets and all who serve our country. But on the subject of protecting women, I'm going to bring this all the way around to John Tester and his throne of lies that he sits on. But the most recent addition to John and his lies is the big one that you were talking about yesterday about supporting women and women's choice. John Tester even has women parading on camera on social media saying John protects women and all of the women rights. So quick point, if that was true, then why is the Independent Women's Forum in Montana fighting for Title IX and all it stands for? Why is Tulsi Gabbard here and Riley Gaines here fighting for women's rights? And I'll give you a hint. Not because flat top fraud Senator Tester's protecting women, right?
That's right.
So I just, Aaron, you know, I just want to get mad because what kind of man refuses to protect women? What does it say about a man who allows boys and girls spaces in sports? What type of man would allow wide open borders while blocking laws to detain and deport violent criminals?
And what type
of
fake news media and what type of fake news media would have ignored that massive news story yesterday in Whitefish, Montana? Riley who? Tulsi who? Selena who? Right? Where's all the news reports from the fake news media? Oh, that's right. It doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't fit their agenda because Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat member of Congress, Riley Gaines, a remarkable world-renowned college female athlete, doesn't fit their narrative because they're calling out liberal Senator John Tester for voting to allow men into girls' locker rooms. John, your thoughts. And by the way, great to hear from you, young lady. Thanks for calling in.
Same thing. Merrick Garland, who? Remember when Garland has to come in here and try to patch things up with the tribes, you know, because they're being overrun by cartel members and drugs and crime? He comes in here, the Attorney General of the United States, and the Montana media just, Merrick who? Was he here?
Well, they did a story afterwards.
Oh, of course.
Because they didn't want to tell people beforehand because they did not want people out there protesting this corrupt Attorney General. They didn't want people calling him out. And so, but KTVQ television did do a very good report on the meetings that he did have. I will give them credit for that. But yeah, boy, they sure kept that visit quiet.
Is that my boy
they?
Bradley? Did he do that story?
No, he's not KTVQ.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, Bradley is, he's the Wake Up Montana guy. Nice guy.
Did your girl there, she did the Elf line. Did you hear it?
She
did
what
Elf
was that?
Line. She said,
it.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Oh. Oh, that's great. Oh, man. Well, and that was actually perfect because I was just thinking, I was like, man, what was the next topic I was going to try to get to? And then I spaced it. Well, let's do the best thing anyway, which is take phone calls. And that's what I wanted to mention was this huge visit by Tulsi Gabbard, Riley Gaines, Selena Soul was one of those track stars in Connecticut that lost a state trophy to a man who wanted to identify as a woman and ran as a woman. I mean, it's so shameful. I saw this cool picture of her. Selena Soul's got like this very, I mean, she had like Jessica Rabbit hair going on, like bright, bright red hair going on. And like, but I don't think she said it on the show. I was talking with, so we had Riley Gaines on in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, full audio on our Montana Talks app if you missed it. But Riley Gaines, I was chatting with her off air as well. And she was like, man, I've talked with Tim Sheehy. She's like, holy cow, this guy's impressive. She's like, I know you guys want to get him elected U.S. Senator from Montana, but I want this guy to be the president of the United States. This guy is that good. But apparently she did say that at the rally in Whitefish yesterday. She actually said that that's how impressed she is with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Our listeners were spot on, by the way. I mean, Sheehy absolutely wiped the floor with John Tester. That's a pretty big push broom if you're going to be wiping the floor. But he got done.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get that done with a broom. I mean, we're going to have some kind of front-end loader to get that to wipe that floor with big John.
Maybe a Zamboni. We need those ladies. The gals that, if you ever go to a Las Vegas Knights hockey game, you need the ladies. They look like cheerleaders, but they come out and sweep the ice during the intermission. Not that anybody noticed or anything.
She's doing really well. I mean, she has taken, the left has come at Riley Gaines with everything they got, and she does not care. She's out there spreading this message and being an effective spokesman for women's sports.
We got Bill in the Flathead. We got Steve in Kalispell, and our friend Irene all the way from Portugal calling in this morning as well. Ooh, the EU elections. The Greenies suffered a massive defeat, and I think it's because of their attacks on agriculture, their attacks on farmers and ranchers, their attacks on beef in particular.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Cutting back on fossil fuel demand and getting more energy from non-carbon emitting sources is hard. Some countries are doing it better than others, and some, like China and India, aren't doing it at all. But to the extent we succeed in this green energy transition, as it's known, we actually make the job harder. Because as we lower demand for things like coal and crude oil, we make those carbon-dense sources of energy cheaper. That in turn makes it more expensive to plow ahead with new investment in green energy production, since the difference in cost widens. For countries that are sitting out the entire transition, and there are many, it's a bit of a windfall, letting them spend less and produce more emissions as we pay handsomely to reduce our own. This would be greatly, but not totally, alleviated if we pursued a more sensible strategy of emission reductions, namely a tax on carbon. Instead, we toe a politically convenient line of trying to regulate and control something that economics is making more attractive with each new edict. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, was it Aunt Bethany? Was it Aunt Bethany in Christmas Vacation? And the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting. Everybody knew it was the wrong song, the wrong time, but they just stood up, put their hands over their heart. That's what the French president's wife did during the D-Day thing, because it's like they were probably I imagine getting the briefing in French before the event, like, okay, Mr. President, Joe Biden may do crazy things, but just pretend like it's all normal. Pretend like it was supposed to happen. Didn't he, like, get ushered out at the most awkward time ever? Like, he had to go off somewhere and take care of business or something?
But you're dead on that, because you've seen over the last year or so, over in these international appearances, these ceremonies that he does, obviously these foreign heads of state have been briefed on that very thing, because you see, without being told, they'll step up and have to guide Joe Biden to where to go and what to do. You see them taking him by the hand or pointing him over here, like, Grandpa, it's time to come get your pudding. Come on, remember, come on. You know, they've been given the briefing ahead of time, obviously.
Got a funny message from Kevin in Belgrade. He saw the story about my run-in with Chuck Schumer in the airport, in Reagan Airport on Sunday night. And he says, he's laughing. He says, you better watch out, though. The FBI has six ways to Sunday to get you. Good on you, Aaron. Why do you think I waited till I got home and off the airplane? I wasn't going to tweet about running into Chuck Schumer before I got off the airplane. I would have just magically been disappeared.
I'm imagining you like Rodney Dangerfield, you know, in Caddyshack.
Hey, Judge. Yeah,
hey, Judge. $1,000 says you missed that putt.
It is. Well, all of a sudden, this guy got taken off of the airplane. I was like, I knew I should have waited to talk about the Chuck Schumer running until I got off the airplane. Yeah, I wasn't saying squat about that until I got home back to Montana, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with these guys, truly, you know, we've talked about this before. Where are they going? They are going right down the road of you criticize them in any way that makes them feel afraid. I think they're going to come out. If they don't actually themselves come after you, they're going to stick their government people on you.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, but isn't that what a sad state of affairs that you actually, I actually thought of that and made a conscious decision to not say squat about that on social media until I got home, because that's the level of government weaponization we are in right now. Let's see. Let's go back into the phone lines. We took our Montana callers first. Bill in the Flathead. Bill, what's on your mind?
Your gender identity thing, you can identify whatever you want. That doesn't mean that's what you are. There's a book, My Lord calls that an abomination. Where is the talk about the mental health? You want to embrace them with mental health. Isn't that schizophrenia? Someone that thinks there's someone else? There's been movies about that. There's someone that thinks there's someone else. If you're a male and you think you're a female, what's schizophrenia if that's not?
Yeah, people with gender dysphoria need help, especially if they have violent tendencies. I mean, we're seeing so many of these mass shooters are transgender. We have a mental health crisis in America that's being exacerbated by this alphabet soup LGBTQ movement. That's for sure. Carol sent me a message. I think Carol is in Billings, if I'm not mistaken. So yesterday we had an incredible lineup of guests. We had Matt Sharp, senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. We had Coach Barb Ehart, who's a state lawmaker in Idaho. We had Riley Gaines, and we were talking about just this radical transgender agenda. And at one point, I had said, hey, look, if you're an adult, you want to chop off your body parts, I mean, you do you. You know, I'm going to recommend that to anybody, but you do you. This is America. But I said, but where we draw a line is when you start targeting kids. And anyway, Carol sent me a message and says, Aaron, you didn't make a really important point. And Carol's right. Carol adds this very important point. They should have to pay for the medical costs with their own money. Some are making prison systems pick up the tab. Some are in the military and changing their identities there. Even if they are in the general population, everyone's insurance costs are going up because of these procedures. Follow the money. It is a huge boon to the medical and pharmaceutical industries. No, that's a point I've made before, but I did not make yesterday. But it's important that we do add to that, Carol. So thanks for sending that message. John, she's exactly right. Like, you want to chop off your body parts and then be a patient for life, treating those wounds that you just created? You do you. I wouldn't recommend it, but don't expect us to pick up the tab.
That is my message, and you've heard me say it probably 1,000 times on your show. Any single issue that comes up, I become my father as the comptroller in the back room when they come up with these nutbag ideas. I'm the guy in the back raising my hand going, how are you going to pay for that? Because we don't have the money. See, here's the books. See, we're not just broke. We're $35 trillion in debt, okay? You can't pay for that. We can't pay for that as the taxpayers. If you want it, pay for it out of your own wallet.
Yeah. Next up, let's go to Steve in Kalispell. Steve, what's on your mind?
Yes, Aaron. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to all the voters who voted for me. I'm running for House District 9, and I won. So very grateful for all the support. Also from Dr. Al, John Fuller, and the Regeers, and my winning. And then what I wanted to talk about was the issue with this man being placed in a woman's prison. In my career, I've run two jails in this country. I ran the jail in Reno, Nevada, and ran the jail in Boise, Idaho. And so the real issue here is correctional administrators are allowed to determine where they place people in their facility. There are several Supreme Court cases on the topic that say, in the language they use, of a legitimate penological interest, and that means trying to keep all of the inmates safe, because that's part of your job, is to make sure people will get hurt while they're in there. You could place this guy in a female prison, but he would have to be in lockdown. He would never have contact with the female inmates because of the risk of, number one, they might assault him. Number two, he might assault them. It's just a bad mix all the way around, and it's really silly for the judge to even get involved in that issue, because it's not her business. Where they are placed in a correctional system is up to the administrators, and the federal courts have been very clear on that. But secondly, this whole thing where we're trying to make men and women, androgynous just because it seems to be the politically convenient thing is really backwards, because clearly there are differences. I raised six daughters, and I'd be appalled if I had had one of my daughters have to compete against a boy while they're playing softball or whatever. It's not the way things are, and it is just a silly notion that is diluting the common sense in this country.
Hey, no, well said. And this must be, I said Steve in Kalispell. Yeah, that's Steve Kelly, Republican candidate for House District 9. Well, best of luck to you in the campaign, Steve. Thanks for your law enforcement service, by the way. And John, you know, my take is this is all the more reason why the Montana legislature, as I see it right now, it's already against the law that men should be allowed in women's prisons. But let's put extra protections on the books in the next legislative session to further clarify it.
Oh, absolutely. And this also brings up the judicial reform that they've been talking about. That needs to be done as well. You see that, and you've heard actually comments from these judges that is their job. Now, they see that as their job, is to stop the Republican legislature and Governor Gianforte. And every major law, really, really all the really good major laws that they got passed, they have undone. They have stopped. And you know, it has nothing to do with the written law. It is all agenda.
All right. We got about a minute to go before our next break. Gail in Columbus, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, hi. While you were talking with the judge, she said the Department of Corrections has more information than her. And I feel like she should have all the information in order to make a ruling. And I don't understand, why does the Department of Corrections have more power than the judge with more information and a final decision? Can you clear that up for me?
No, I think that's why I said I'm looking forward to getting more information about this case. Because here's the deal. Like, if I were the judge, because we know the judges have power to do this, if I don't feel like I'm getting all of the accurate information, I'm going to demand somebody better get their butt in here and give me more information. If I have a suspicion that these people aren't being forthright, or I haven't gotten all the details or all the information, or, you know, I'm going to demand that somebody better show up and give me the full story here. Right, John?
Yeah, and it's not when you're asked to, when you're told in a recommendation from PNP to put somebody, you know, a male in a female prison, that's where I'm going to go, hey, whoa, what now? Oh, I'm going to need some more info here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to need a lot more. In fact, why don't you come see me in my chambers right now? You can leave your book right there. You better hurry up, too, while you're at it. All right. Let's get to Irene next.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The not good times, by the way, for the people in this country. Look at this headline on Fox Business today. Nearly two-thirds of middle-class Americans say they're struggling financially, quote, gasping for air. Americans feeling pessimistic about their finances amid ongoing inflation. Biden administration now is cementing in their latest rule to force electric vehicles, which cost a fortune more, that Americans don't want into your driveway, because they locked in a weakened fuel economy standard on Friday. Experts are still describing the final version of this astringent designed specifically to force electric vehicles on Americans who don't want them.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
...201-6263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Let's see. I hope Irene Almeida is still on the phone line. She's calling in all the way from Portugal, one of the great friends we've gotten to know through John Jackson's Twitter friends. Irene, wow, the Green New Deal activists sure got the smackdown across Europe, huh?
They certainly did. The center-right and the right actually won most of the seats. But I actually had a first-hand experience in the whole voting thing because I have dual citizenship. And although I don't agree with dual citizenship, I'm an American, but those are the EU rules, so I abide by the rules when I'm in Portugal. And I voted for the equivalent of MAGA here. And I showed ID, they authenticated it, they held my ID, they handed me a paper ballot, I filled it out, I put it in the little box in front of all the political parties that wanted to be there, and then they handed me back my ID. And by midnight, all the votes had already been counted, that's 27 countries, and they already knew who won.
Wow.
So, in the U.S., it takes days, 27 countries here, and they knew who won. And the right won, absolutely.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We've got a liberal Gallatin County commissioner who says, well, you wouldn't expect Gallatin County to be able to hand count all these printed ballots. Come on, it's like entire countries can do it and have done it. As Irene just told us, yeah, fascinating insight. John Jackson, want to get your take on that as well. We're getting short on time. Let's sneak in one more caller. We've got the mighty Human Z calling in.
Great Lakes greetings, gentlemen. Put that alcohol down. New Jersey is going after Trump's liquor licenses because he's supposedly a felon in New York. So we need to have lawfare for all. Equity, equity, put the alcohol down. Lawfare everywhere, all 50 states, jump in right now, take advantage of this, because this is the new American way, I guess. I don't know. I don't drink alcohol during the day, but I guess you won't be able to drink it in the casinos in New Jersey.
Well, you haven't been to a Cat Grizz football game then. Mighty Human Z, great gentleman. Yeah, that's a crazy story out of New Jersey. So it shows the level of weaponization of government for the Democrats. It's at every level. The Attorney General of New Jersey is trying to strip the liquor licenses away from the Trump resorts there.
I thought... Didn't Trump divest as president? Didn't he divest and take his name out of the play on all of those businesses? That's what normally presidents do. And if he did that, and it still is like that to this day, then how would they come after his liquor license? This is, like you say, like you and Z are just saying, if this is lawfare, it has nothing to do with what is actually the law or what is on the books. They're just going after him punitively in any way they can.
And then what about Irene from Portugal?
Oh, I mean, Irene, that shows you, we talk about this on our podcast all the time. Portugal shows you how it's supposed to be done. And what you see here in the United States now in these blue areas is intentional incompetence. They want to make you think that we're just incompetent. But what they're doing is rolling it out as long as they can until they see how many votes they need to win. And then that's how many more they'll feed into the system.
We had a message from Dennis in Bozeman. I remember how Tester got elected in the first place by muckraking old Conrad Burns. Seems like he's doing the same thing to every political opponent. Yeah, well said there, Dennis. Let's see. Dennis had another message here. I noticed that the so-called news is one-sided in covering the debate between Tester and Sheehy, trying to make Tester look good. Yeah, of course, the fake news media is trying to prop up, flip-flop, flat-top. And then abortion, 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 abortion. That's all they want to talk about is abortion, abortion, abortion. They don't care about Colstrip. They don't care about the mine in Butte. They don't care about the union jobs there. All they care about is abortion on demand up until the due date. Fake news media and the Democrats, too. All right, we're going to get highlight. I'll play some highlights from the Tester-Sheehy debate coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Democracy 24.
Former President Trump says he'll appeal the 34-count criminal conviction. The verdict, which has rocked the 2024 presidential race, has boosted Trump's campaign financially.
Oh, we're going to fight. It's actually, I don't know, it's something where I'm wired in such a way that a lot of people would have gone away a long time ago.
Trump, who faces sentencing in mid-July, could end up behind bars. The top Republicans, including those considered potential vice presidential picks, are rushing to his defense. Ohio Republican Senator J.D. Vance.
The trial fundamentally was rigged. It was always about politics.
A Marist NPR poll taken in May before the verdict found a majority of people would not change their vote based on the case's outcome. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who prosecuted the case, says justice was done.
I did my job. Our job is to follow the facts and the law without fear or favor.
In Washington, Mark Meredith, Fox News.